Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay? Yes, good. Deacon Eddie did some work during the week to make this microphone better, so we're grateful to him that we can all hear a little bit better today. My homily's out of order. So, God wins, right? You've heard that before? Yeah? You believe that? He does. God wins. It doesn't always feel that way. It doesn't always seem like justice will prevail. Sometimes it seems just the opposite. But it is very important for us to know the whole story. In the first reading today, we saw the priest Ezra get up in front of the entire assembly of the nation of Israel and begin to read the law. That was the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those books, that takes a long time to read those books. Anyway, they had been exiled. In other words, the whole nation of Israel, everybody was taken prisoner, kidnapped, shipped far away from home. And after having been gone for many years, they were released and allowed to come back. And they're rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And they discover the book of the law. And they're so thrilled. And they want to read it to everybody. So they assemble the whole nation of Israel. This is what was being described. And they start reading. And the people begin to weep. And they say, "Don't weep. Be joyful this day. It's a joyful day." Well, that reading of the law is profound and important. And it also ties into the gospel, because we see Jesus doing essentially the same thing. He goes not to the temple, but to a synagogue in Nazareth, and he reads a little excerpt, just like we do tonight. We gather together tonight to read part of, a portion of, and we don't do it all in one sitting, we don't do it all one morning, we do it over a sequence of weeks and years, reading the whole story. And how important it is for us to get the whole story. You know, we can't live our Christian lives halfway. We have to be all in. You've heard that expression, I imagine. I'll tell you a story a few years ago. A few years ago, when I was at my other parish up in Sacred Heart in Dedo, there was a gentleman that lived not far from the church, but he wasn't Catholic. But he was a believer, and he was kind of in and out of church a little bit. But he would come by from time to time, and he would want to visit with me. He wanted to visit with me because I was a priest, because I was a minister, because he'd been to church there a few times, and he thought I might have something worth hearing to say. Well, he and I started a friendship that continued over the years I was there. But he shared something with me one day. He was an alcoholic. He wasn't just your run-of-the-mill functional alcoholic. He was a Skid Row alcoholic and drug addict, but he had recovered. And now he had been married, he had children, he was a business owner, and his life was good. But he would want to come by from time to time because he complained about the fact that he had this like committee in his head, all right? And they're all sitting around the table, and sometimes they all start talking at the same time. And he said when all of those voices in his head would start talking at the same time, it would start to drive him crazy. He'd have to settle them down. He'd have to have an opportunity to sit down and talk. And that's what we would do. He would just come visit from time to time. And he said something to me about his journey from Skid Row to being a business owner, a father, and a husband. He was in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, you've heard of the 12 steps. Well, Alcoholics Anonymous has this book. They call it the Big Blue Book. And in that big blue book, it's got the 12 steps, and it's got this, and it's got that, and it's got all these little nuggets of wisdom and how you're supposed to live your life and how to approach your problems and challenges. And he shared this little tidbit with me. He said, this is a line out of the book, half measures have availed us nothing. Now, what does that mean? You can't quit being a Skid Row alcoholic halfway. You can't do it halfway. You got to do it all the way. You can't be halfway a Christian. You have to be all the way a Christian. You can't say, I'm going to lie, cheat, and steal some of the time. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to believe and embrace the whole thing. Halfway brings us nothing. It avails us nothing. It leaves us lost. So, what does this have to do with the reading of Nehemiah? Nehemiah, Ezra wanted to give the whole story to the people. And the church wants you and me to have the whole story. So I'm not going to read the whole Bible up here for you today. No, that's not the way we do it. This is the way we do it. We divide the gospel into a three-year cycle. Year A, the gospel of Matthew. Year B, the gospel of Mark. Year C, the gospel of Luke. John, there's four gospels. John is sprinkled in on all 3 years, okay? So after 3 years, you more or less get the whole story of the gospel. That is, if you come. See, halfway isn't going to get it. It's never going to quite add up. It's never going to quite sink in like it should. We have to give ourselves completely, and we have to receive the Word of God wholly, the gospel. Today we read the first few passages, the first few verses of the Gospel of Luke. And Luke was a convert to Judaism and Christianity, obviously. Luke was a physician and had an orderly mind. And he had studied all of the stories about Jesus that he had come across. And he sat down to write an orderly account of them. And he decided he would write this gospel to someone named Theophilus. Now, who is Theophilus? Theophilus is probably not a person. Theophilus is a character in his story. And the name Theophilus means friend of God. And so he's writing the good news to the friends of God that we would be transformed. Now, when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John decided to write gospels, the word gospel, what does it mean? Good news, right? That's what the gospel is. It's the good news. In Greek, the evangelion. Well, they borrowed that word or that concept from the Roman Empire. Because the Roman emperor had a policy. He was like a politician, you know, but more than a politician. He was the emperor. He had a policy, and his policy was this. Anything that I say is the good news. Because I said it. And when the gospel authors decided to, what are we going to name this? They decided to name, you know, what the emperor says isn't the good news. It's what who says is the good news. It's what Jesus says is the good news. And so they stole that term, if you will. And the good news isn't just information, it's transformation. The Word of God has the power to change us if we let it change us. Jesus came to Nazareth, in the town that he had grown up. I'm quoting the gospel today from Luke. He went according to his custom. So we know that Jesus went to the to the synagogue every Sabbath day. He went according to his custom into the synagogue that Sabbath day. And he sits down. He's a lector. He's a reader. He's one of the ones that gets the scroll of the word and proclaims it to the congregation. And he proclaims this word to them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. This is a prophecy given by Isaiah many hundreds of years before Jesus lived. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Can you imagine? Jesus is the one reading those words that were prophesied about him in this assembly. Just imagine that for a moment. You're in that congregation. And then he goes on to give a little commentary on it. He rolls the scroll back up. He didn't have books like we have. They just had these long scroll, so he rolls it back up. He hands it to the attendant. He sits down, and everybody's staring at him. And he says something profound, something I hope you get. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Not because he read it, but because it was heard. And so this power of Jesus to bring the good news and freedom and sight, it has to be heard, right? And we need the what? Part of the story or the whole story? And I'll illustrate this need for the whole story for you a minute. Tell another story about my former parish. I remember a young boy, probably 6 or 7 years old, came up to me one day after church. It must have been Palm Sunday or maybe Good Friday, although I wouldn't imagine that he would have been in church on Good Friday just because it's not a holy day. But he comes up to me after church and he says to me, little kid, thinking like a little kid, but also with the wisdom of a little kid too. He says to me, "Why did Jesus get beat up? Why did he lose?" You know, in his mind, the hero doesn't get beat up and killed and lose. The hero wins. You know, Josh didn't know the what. He didn't know the whole story. We got to know the whole story. It's got to live in us. Because sometimes it feels like we're losing. Sometimes it feels like maybe evil is winning. Sometimes it feels like injustice is going to carry the day. Sometimes it's like death has the last word. But it doesn't. The whole story is God made you and me. He made us for relationship with him. And then sin entered the world. And sin entered the world and divided us and brought disease and death and confusion into the world. And Jesus comes into the world and takes sin and death on himself so that he can give sight to the blind and freedom to the captors, and he suffers the punishment that is ours, and he dies. He loses for us. We're the losers, but he takes that loss and nails it to the cross and rises from the dead and gives us new life, and we are baptized into him. And we are joined to him by baptism. And my brothers and sisters, we have to know the whole story. The whole story has to live in us. It has to dwell in us. It has to mark our being. We can't be halfway Christians. We can't live it half of the time. It's got to dwell and it's got to change us. See, the gospel isn't just information, it is transformation. So we let the power of God in us every Sunday, 52 Sundays a year and holy days, and then we read and study the Word of God as we can on our own so that we know and we live the whole story. Some of you are out there thinking, hey, Father Mike, I'm here. You need to preach this on Easter Sunday when only those people that come sometimes are here, okay? Well, you could go tell them why it's important to know the what? The whole story. You got to know the whole story. You got to live the whole story because the gospel is a transforming power to bring freedom to captives and sight to the blind and let the oppressed go free and the dead live again.